Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 1st chapter, verse 34, entitled The Event of Lord Krishna. Introduction. Translation is, therefore, since envious impious activities cause a body in which one suffers in the next life, why should one act impiously? Considering one's welfare, one should not envy anyone. For an envious person must always fear harm from his enemies, either in this life or the next. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Instead of being inimical towards other living entities, one should act piously by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord, thus avoiding the fearful situation both in this life and the next life. In this regard, the following moral instruction given by the great politician Chandrika Pandit is very meaningful. Trija durajan saraskaram bhaja sadhu samaraganam karo puyam aho ritram sma nityam anichayachatam. One should give up the company of devils, demons, and non-devotees. One should always associate with devotees and saintly persons. One should always act piously, thinking that this life is temporary, and not be attached to temporary happiness and distress. This consciousness, Krishna consciousness movement, is teaching all human society this principle of becoming Krishna conscious and thus solving the problems of life forever. Tavakya deham puna juna natimam ete sa juna. So the the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam have one thing in common. Of course, they're scriptures, but one thing is they have one thing in common is that they're a conversation or dialogue between the spiritual master and disciple. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna surrenders to Krishna as a spiritual master, and then Arjuna becomes disciple, and in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is a spiritual master, Maharaj Prichit is the disciple. So there's one thing in common is this. So then, this Krishna consciousness movement, as it says here, is teaching all society, all human society, the principle of becoming Krishna conscious. Now, what is Krishna consciousness? And thus solving the problems of life forever. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, now, many, I don't know about you, about the other devotees, but generally, many people don't read the introduction of this book, Bhagavad Gita, but after I read it, this introduction, I could understand the Bhagavad Gita. I could understand the rest of the 18 chapters. Because in this introduction is actually all the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, this introduction. So one should just read and study this introduction, then one will understand the dialogue between Arjuna and Krishna. So I'm going to read from, in this version, it's on page 4, what actually Srila Prabhupada describes, what a Krishna consciousness is, and what a devotee is. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person who has qualities similar to Arjuna's. That is to say, he must be a devotee in a direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he has also a direct relationship with the Lord. This is a very elaborate subject matter, but briefly it can be stated that a devotee is in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of five different ways. One may be a devotee in a passive state. One may be a devotee in an active state. One may be a devotee as a friend. One may be a devotee as a parent. One may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. Arjuna was in relationship with the Lord as a friend. Of course, there is a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in the material world. This is transcendental friendship, which cannot be had by anyone, everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is invoked by perfection of devotional service. But in the present status of our life, not only have we forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Every living being, out of many billions and trillions of living beings, has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. This is called sarup. By the process of devotional service, one can revive that sarup. That stage is called sarup siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position. So Arjuna was a devotee, and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. So from this little section, we can see Krishna consciousness means relationship with Krishna, sambandha tattva, sambandha gyan. And so that is the start of one's relationship. Then through bhakti, we become to the process. We come to the Abhideya, and then once the Abhideya is free, but it's free from all jnana and karma, we can actually come to the level of the goal of life, which is Brajaprema. Not ordinary prema, but Brajaprema, which Lord Caitanya came to give to everyone. But this sambandha, this relationship, actually starts when the living entity surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Arjuna did. He says in the second chapter that I am bewildered. Please, I am your disciple. I surrender unto you. Please help me. So when Arjuna surrenders to Krishna and says, please accept me as your sishya, what does Krishna do? He doesn't feel sympathetic. He's not sentimental. Immediately he smashes Arjuna's false ego. He chastises him. He says, speaking like a fool. So this is the duty of the spiritual master, to get rid of our foolishness, and from there, this is, we can be purified of our foolishness, thinking that that we actually, because we're in ignorance, we are at the same time we're very foolish because we are in ignorance. Now the spiritual master, we know this. We say Amagyana Andasya Gyananas Lakaya Tats Yutum Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. So we know what it means, but now it says in Bhagavad Thakur, he writes in Jiva Dharma and some other of his books, there are five types of ignorance. Now this is touching on what Prabhupada has said in the introduction, which I've just read, some of what. So the five types of ignorance are not knowing one's sarup, not knowing one's eternal relationship. That's one type of ignorance. Second one is thinking we are this body. Number three is assuming false proprietorship over matter. And as her master and enjoyer. Four, attachment to material conceptions and objects of forgetfulness of their actual relationship with Krishna. The fifth one is the resultant fear of antagonism and distorted perception of material bewilderment. Trimdasya, the darkness of ignorance in the form of striving for the four Vedic goals, Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. Now, the first one Prabhupada has mentioned in his introduction. Now, I'll speak a little on the fifth one, the fifth one comes under the heading of there's Nitya Dharma and there's Naimikkana Dharma. Now, Naimikkana Dharma means temporary or occasional. So, just like Krishna killing the demons, that is also Naimikkana Dharma because it's temporary. Krishna is always enjoying, and so therefore, there's Krishna killing the demons, and also Bhagavad Thakur says the Vanashram is also Naimikkana Dharma, temporary. Now, so because it's temporary, everything is changing. So it's changing, like one moment we need money. All right, everybody needs money, you know, to live, especially householders. We all need money to live. We need money to maintain the temple, like this. So, but that is temporary. And there's nothing wrong with Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. But if we're striving just for that and forgetting the fifth Purushottam, the actual goal of life, which is Krishna Prem, then these things are just they're not, as Lord Chaitanya says, they're a waste of time. If we're not striving for the goal of life, these Dharma, Moksha, Artha, Karma can lead to prema if they are applied by actually remembering Krishna. They can lead to Krishna prema. Now, so then, as Arjuna is chastised immediately by Krishna. So this is the result of surrendering. So now sometimes we see in spiritual life, we meet the spiritual master and he's smiling, he's happy, he gives us a hug, and he gives a nice garland. And then after initiation, everything changes. He doesn't smile, he doesn't give you a hug, he doesn't give you a garland, he just gives you the source. So this is actually the real service of the spiritual master. As Bhaktisiddhanta Swaitakur used to say, one who thinks he's a guru, he's not a guru. A guru is one who serves his disciple by helping them to go back to Godhead. So he has to get rid of all our nonsense in our heart, all these anattas and so on. So these anattas, we've got so many anattas. There's four classifications of anattas we have to get through. Anatta. And we all know the stage of anatta nirvitti. It's very difficult to get through, because we go through so many. Some anattas go, and then another one comes up we don't even know about. So then we have to, it's just like you could say, the chastisement of the spiritual master is like, you could say, when you're when we go to the airport and we check in our luggage. You know, if you're like first class or business class, the luggage goes through fast track. The luggage goes straight through very quick. And even go on the conveyor belt, goes through the slow. So the chastisement of the spiritual master is like the fast track. He cares about that disciple so much that he wants him to go back to Godhead and not take birth again, so he gives him like the fast track treatment. And so then the spiritual master, this is his mercy. So then the sometimes I know with my spiritual master, that sometimes when he smiles at you, you ask him something. Oh, Gurudev, can I do this? No, I want to do this. He smiles at you and says, okay, you do it. Externally, he seems happy with you. But internally, he's not happy. Because he knows, he gives you the permission to do it because he knows we're going to do it anyway, without his permission or not. So this is the spiritual master. He's very merciful in that way, and somehow the mercy comes, and then we actually. Slowly, we actually, a few times it's happened to me, I've understood, all right, he said yes. But after, and I wasn't really happy after a week or so, but I realized, yes, he gave me permission, but internally he wasn't happy with me. So then I realized this, so then I didn't bother to ask anymore in that sense, in that way. So Krishna consciousness means actually developing our relationship with Krishna, as it says through the five principal mellows of rasa. Now, somehow or other, we have to understand these five relationships, these five rasas. Now, in the beginning, it may be very, very difficult to understand, especially for new people who have just joined. But there's a saying, I don't know where it comes from, but I've heard it a few times. Ayindra said it, used to say it a few times, and I've heard it from other senior devotees. The walk of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. So what we hear about Rasa Tattva may be so high that we can't understand it. But if we take the first step and take shelter of a senior devotee, a pure devotee who knows and who understands that Rasa Tattva or Jiva Tattva or Krishna Tattva, then if we take shelter of that devotee and surrender, serve him, and he will impart that truth unto us. Taviti parapartena patapasvasenaya. So we surrender that, and he will actually give us. He will give us the knowledge by surrendering unto him, serving him, and so on like this. So we just have to surrender to a devotee and look at, and serve him, surrender unto him. Then he will impart that, because he's a tattva darshini. He has seen the truth. So if we please him or her, because there are many pure devotees in the female body as well, as the scriptures have pointed out, there's so many Janava Mata. So on, and so many. So we have to take shelter of that person, and then he'll impart knowledge onto us. Now, I'll stop there, because today is the, the appearance or disappearance of Saranga Thakur. Is it? Disappearance. So, Radha Govinda mentioned briefly at Mangal, at the announcements about Saranga Thakur. Saranga Thakur, he lived in Maldwandweep, which is one of the 9 islands of Mayapur, Navadweep Dham. Now, each island has one aspect of service. So there is its dasya, serving. So there he, Saranga Thakur, he used to worship Radha Gopinath deity there. Now that deity is at the Madan Gopal temple in Mangachi, as Radha Govinda Prabhu mentioned this morning. And as he mentioned also, there's a bakul tree there where he used to do his japa underneath and his deity worship. And it was dying. And if you go there today, you'll see the tree. It's completely the front or the back, which all depends which way you look at it. But one side is completely bare. Look inside, and it's completely hollow inside. And there's leaves and flowers in the spring and summertime there. And Tulsi is growing around the base of the tree. So Lord Chaitanya, he came there, and he saw the tree was dying. So he embraced the tree, and the tree came back to life. Now, at that place also, to even today, there's one very saintly personality there. He's 81 years old, His name is Jagatbandhu Prabhu. And he's been there, a bhajari there, looking after Madan Gopal. And Radha Gopinath for 60 years. He came there on the order of his Guru Maharaj at the age of 11 years old. And he said, his Guru Maharaj told him, you go to, at that time, this is just a small temple. The temple there you see is not the original one. The original one is not there. It's in the jungle behind. So you go there and look after deities. So he went there at the age of 11 years old by himself. And first time I went, Bhatri Maharaj took us on Parakram, and because he can't speak English, but Bhatri Maharaj translated Bengali into English. In Jagatbandhu was saying, when he first went there, it was all dirt, mud, dirt roads, and in rainy season it was just mud. And in the distance, he could hear the roaring of tigers. But he wasn't, at first he thought, no, it's tigers in the jungle, can't go there. But no, my order of Guru Maharaj, I must go there, look after the deities. Well, no matter what happens, even if I am killed by a tiger, I will at least die following the order of my Gurudev. So he's been there now for, he's 80 odd years old now, so he's been there almost 60 years looking after these deities. So he's been there that long. And so that's the area, that's the Saranga Thakur. Now, he used to do his puja, deity worship in the morning, and then walk down to the Ganga, which is about 20 minutes walk, get a boat across and join Lord Chaitanya and the devotees in Mayapur and do Harinam and come back in the evening. And because he used to associate mainly with Lord Nityananda, he, let's say, had some of Lord Nityananda's avadut characteristics. So this Saranga Thakur, he would go up to a Bengali tiger, and I've seen them in some zoo years ago called Marwell Zoo, which is near Winchester. A Bengali tiger, this was laying down, and it was 18 foot long. And he used to go up to these tigers and slap them across the face and pull their ears, pull their tails, you name it. And he would pick up these snakes, poisonous snakes, and put them, and play with them. So he got the characteristics, he got, they say, the habits of Lord Nityananda's avadut characteristics. And this Saranga Thakur, he's actually Nandamukhi Sakhi in Krishna Leela. So one day, Lord Chaitanya for some time told him, actually instructed him, now you're qualified to take disciples. But out of humility, he didn't want to take. And he would make some excuse up. So one day, Lord Chaitanya, he pinned him down. He said, you must take disciples, I'm telling you. So then he thought, I can't get out of this. Okay. The first person I see, I will be my disciple. So every day, Saranga Thakur would go and take bath in the Ganga, which is, so say, not far, about 20 minutes walk. And on that day, a little bit earlier, a boy, and called Murari. This young boy was on his way to get married, and he got bitten by a poisonous snake and he died from the snake bite. So then the custom was, if you die by a snake bite, your body is thrown in the Ganga. So as Sangrang Thakur was taking bath, the body came floating down, and because of the body of Sarang Thakur was totally spiritual, the body touched his body, and the dead body came back to life. And then after that, that boy saw, oh, this is the man, this is the person that brought me back to life, so I will serve him. So he became his disciple. And when his mother heard that, oh, my son now has come back to life, I will go and get him and he can carry on getting married. So then he came to what is now Mangachi village, and said, oh, my dear boy, Murari, come back. No. This is the man that has given me real life. He's my Gurudev. I'm staying here. So he became Saranga Murari Thakur, Saranga Murari Thakur. And then, so then he used to, so this rest of the time, so he spent a lot, this is where that Sarang Murari Thakur used to stay, and some of his pastimes there. And that's the same area that Vrindavan Das Thakur also appeared. And also the wife of Srivas Thakur also appeared in that same area as well. So it's a very auspicious area to visit. And as a little tip, if you want to go there, the best way, if you're on this, you can just get a rickshaw from Navadweep town. And by rickshaw, it's about 45 minutes if you want to go by rickshaw. And if you want, you can get a bus down there as well. And the bus is only about 6-8 rupees. Rickshaw may cost you about 80 rupees. So you can go down there, visit those nice places, and see that Bakul tree. And sometimes devotees, with that Bakul tree, I did it once myself, because the branches falling off, because the wood is quite soft. So sometimes devotees will make neck beads out of them. So I did it once myself because I was living in Mayapur for about four years. So I went there and found a branch, cut it up, and made some neck beads out of them. And many devotees actually do that there. And it's a very auspicious tree, Bakul tree. Now, also that pastime there is a pastime there. Jagabandhu, he says this. Sometimes there's a snake. You can't see, but there's a snake inside that tree. There was a snake in that tree. And that snake sometimes would come and go and take darshan of the deities, then go back to the tree. And now, the local people say it's actually an antashesh coming to take darshan of Krishna, because the snake colors are apparently its unusual color. It's not a common snake. So there's many pastimes in that area. So, Saranga Thakur Ki Jai. Any questions or comments, please, or corrections?